I want to say there are many opportunities to serve here at Church on the North Coast. Joshua Kids has been in existence for the last 30 plus years. If you're looking for areas to connect and serve the community, Joshua Kids is there. Another way you could serve your community is the Love Center. We have that on Mondays right out front here. We have Thursdays. We have that right out front here. You could come and you could be a part of that team and you could serve your community as well. There are so many ways to get connected and serve the community. Of course, in October, we'll have Trip to Hell. We'll be saving souls. How many were a part of Trip to Hell last year? An amazing time of, we see a massive harvest of souls. Hundreds upon hundreds of people running to give their life to Jesus. Another community outreach. I'm sharing this with you to let you know that there are many opportunities for you to get involved. And there are many opportunities to give to so people can be blessed in our community and in our church. I want to say thank you to all of you who continue to faithfully give to the vision of God for this region. We believe that we are a part of the vision of God for this region, that He has purposely put Church on the North Coast here to serve and to save souls under the power of God's presence. You believe that? You're a part of that. And so thank you so much for your faithful giving. Last year, we were able to give back to our community. I share this with you because there are many heavy criticisms that I know that the world's coming for the church. I don't know if you noticed that. But the world is coming for the church right now. They hate the church. It's the spirit of the Antichrist that's in the world. That's, you know, unfortunately, it's getting into Christians that don't know any better, and it hates the work of the church. And I'm just being transparent to let you know that last year, we nearly gave $1 million back to our congregation in benevolence giving. Can you put your hands together for Jesus? All of our giving is transparent. You can see it. We will give it to you so you can see everything that comes in. We do our best to make sure everything goes out. Of course, you know, we have our eyes set on another generation, so we continue to make maintenance repairs, innovation updates. We did this because of that generation right there. That's it. I had a moment with God, and God spoke to me and said, I want you to do everything you can under your power to reach a generation for the Lord. I was in a service of young people, and in that service of young people, what I saw was what you see here, and what I saw was what you see here, and I saw 500 students climb over every chair and run to the altar and praise in worship to Jesus. It changed my life forever. You want to see it, you can go to my Instagram page and you can see it. That moment changed me forever. It challenged me forever. And I got to realize that I was saying that I was going to reach them, but I wasn't actually doing the things and making the investments to reach them. And I was challenged in my spirit. And without, you know, once God, if God tells me to do something, I will say this to you. And this is, you know, you can fire me, but you know, but I'm going to obey Jesus. And then I'm going to come back and go, hey, by the way, Jesus said to do this. You good with that? You know, I'm a big proponent of asking for forgiveness before permission. I don't suggest you do that. I'm just telling you that's what I'm going to do. You know, I'm going to go ahead and obey the Lord. And so I give this information to you to let you know that we are very good stewards of God's economy here at Church on the North Coast. We have a staff of roughly 18 people who carry 4 locations, 7 services a week across 70 miles of territory. 18 people, we carry that, and they work tirelessly. I want to say thank you to all of the people that helped us get us to this point. Dan, thank you so much. Ron, thank you so much. Matt, Dave. There were so many that helped us get to this point. You know, when I originally cast the vision for it, I thought, let's do it by Easter. Let's get it done by Resurrection Sunday. And I never dreamed in my heart that we would actually pull it off, to tell you the truth. It's, you know, when God gives you vision, you just go ahead and say, we can do it, you know. But there's a part of your soul that says, that's probably not going to happen. And you run out there with your spirit and say, yes, it will. And your soul says, I'm tired. Take a nap. But what I've seen is the church be unified, come together for a common purpose and a common goal. And I share all of this with you to tell you that, Church on the North Coast, you look beautiful right now. You're doing so, so well right now in faith. And I'm very, very proud to pastor this church. Can you put your hands together for Jesus and all that he's doing? Thank you so much. And so the needs don't stop. We continue to meet, do our best. I will say we do our best to meet every need. Now, just because a need comes in doesn't mean that that need moves to the front of the line. Can I just be honest with you? There are so many needs that come in that there's a line that gets pretty long. And so we don't meet the need 100%. There's a philosophy we operate our ministry by, and that is, we will not work harder on your problems than you. That's grown up words right there. You know what I mean? And that doesn't mean we're not sensitive and empathetic to what's happening, but we definitely are very, very good stewards with tithe dollars and everything we invest in. We don't look at it as giving. We look at it as investments. And you're the greatest investment God ever gave to the world. I want you to know that. You look at your neighbor and tell them, you're the greatest investment God ever gave to the world. So as we give today, I want to say thank you. And we like to bless the gift and the giver. As you hold it up before the Lord, let us commission it under the assignment of heaven. And right now, come on, just hold it up before the Lord. You're watching online, just hold it up there. The ways to give, right there on the screen, right in front of you. And let's pray. Father, bless every gift, every giver today. We thank you, Lord, that poverty's back is broken in Northeast Ohio. We killed the giant of poverty. We thank you, Lord, that as your people give generously, they reveal that they've been in the presence of Jesus. Generosity is always the provocation of the soul that experiences the presence of the King and the Savior Jesus. So we thank you for these that are giving today. We bless their homes. We bless their children. We rebuke the devourer. We command health and strength and favor and goodness to follow them wherever they go. We thank you, Lord, that they are the head and not the tail, that they're blessed when they come in, blessed when they go out. We thank you that their children are the heritage of the Lord. We thank you that their marriages represent the marriage of Jesus to his church. We thank you that they are called and they are chosen. We bless this today. We thank you for it. And as we give it to the earth, we thank you that it manifests heaven. We sow it as a seed. We reap it eternally in Jesus' mighty name. Amen? Amen. 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 Take your Bible. Go with me to Matthew 21, verse 9 this morning. Matthew 21, verse 9 this morning. I'll share from the beginning there, but today is Palm Sunday, and you know, historically on this day is when Jesus, you know, your Bible probably up there at the top, it says triumphant entry. And today we recognize the day when Jesus came into Jerusalem just before the Passover there, and he was, a week later, he would be crucified. And from the dusty streets of Jerusalem, there rose a cry. There rose this cry. And the cry was, Hosanna. We say it today, and I don't think we say it in the same tone, with the same context. We say it being on the other side of the resurrection. We say it triumphantly. We say it when we raise, we know that Jesus rose victoriously for us. We raise those palms, and the palms always signify victory in battle. So when the emperors would come, the citizens would line the streets, and they would take those palms and they would lift them in the air, and they would just declare victory for their king. If I could just for a moment, just kind of bring us back to the setting there and kind of reset what was really happening. What was really happening there was there were a people who let out an agonist cry. They cried out from the oppression that they were feeling. It's not as neat and clean as it is today for us. Where Hosanna, Hosanna, ooh. No, no. Their Hosanna, if you could give me that image of the Hosanna, the image there. I want you to feel, when I saw this image, I saw, that's what was happening on the streets of Jerusalem that day. That's what was happening. There was this agonist cry of urgency and desperation for a king. You know what they were saying? This ain't working for me. This system ain't working for me, is what they were saying. Much like you today, you and I today, you know, the parallels between the times are quite startling. And I don't know if you've ever let out an agonist, urgent, desperate cry of relief. I remember when I did. I remember the first time I did. I might have done it earlier, but this time I remember vividly. It was on Fifth Street in Lorraine, on the third story, out of the darkest hour, represented by the darkest night, by the darkest minute, from the darkest place in my heart. I cried out a Hosanna. I cried out to God. It's a dangerous cry. I don't, you know, like we say it, but I want you to know that when you release a Hosanna from down in here because of all that's happening in your life, because of what the doctor said, or because of the pressure, or because of the boss, or because of the children, or because of the marriage, when you let out a Hosanna, when you cry from the urgent place deep within your belly and there's desperation in it, I want you to know that you will always get more than you cry for. And they didn't realize it, because they wanted a Messiah to rescue them from the geopolitical forces and the dynamics that were at play in their day. And they cried out for relief from Rome, and what they got was an entrance of eternity. What they cried from their soul, but what they got was a spiritual awakening that brought them into the reality that He is not the king of just this moment, but He is the king of all moments forever. He was the king of the moment when you were born, and He'll be the king of the moment when you die. He will, He is, and He will be. Like they cried, you know, I cried in that hour, but I didn't really begin to understand the depths of the cry and the answer of the cry from Jesus until many, many years later. I thought, oh wow, now looking back, I realize that I cried out of that hour of darkness, the urgency and desperation of my soul, but I had no idea what He would do with my Hosanna. I would tell you that I stand here today because of that one cry of Hosanna. So I want you to know, when you cry out Hosanna, you're saying what the scripture says here. The multitudes went before, and those who followed cried. It was an agonist cry. It wasn't a victorious cry like we have today. It was a cry from their soul that says, I'm alone, I'm tired, I'm weary, I'm broken, I'm hurting, I'm rejected, I'm full. It was an agonist cry from their soul. And He said, Hosanna, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Now, this last part we always say, but I want you to see. Hosanna in the highest. You're going to get to a place in your life where your Hosanna, it's not going to go. When you release a Hosanna, it doesn't go to the local courts. It doesn't go to the state courts. It doesn't even go to the Supreme Courts. When they cried out, Hosanna, they weren't saying, Hosanna, save, Caesar, save. No, they were crying out to the highest courts. They were crying out to the highest authority that could control time and eternity. Their souls cried out to Hosanna, and it was an appeal to the justice of heaven. It was Hosanna, save now. Don't save me just a little bit. Save me from heaven. If you have to, Jesus, come down. And he came down. Hosanna is the cry, is a no way out, bottom of the barrel, at my end of all, falling apart, desperate cry from the soul that reaches into eternity and brings Jesus right down the road, straight to where you live. That's what Hosanna does. Hosanna brings the glory of heaven. The only begotten, the all-powerful Jesus, Hosanna in the highest. It brings the highest authority right to your doorstep, right to your circumstance. This is what Hosanna means. To cry out Hosanna. It's an urgent cry. And when I cried out that day, I had no idea. I had no idea what God would do with a simple cry. I said something like this: most dangerous prayer you can pray. Don't pray it unless you, well, yeah, pray it, man. Let him do with you what he did with me. I prayed this prayer. It was something like, well, if you're real, Jesus. I ought not have ever said that. But because I did, he said, you want to see if I'm real? You want to see if I'm real? Watch how I deliver you. Watch where I take you. Watch what I'll do with your life. But that's a Hosanna. Your Hosanna will always give you more than you cry out. And your Hosanna, see, God will not allow your circumstance to ever be greater than your cry. Yeah. That's what Hosanna tells us in this story, that he will never let what you're going through be greater than him. So I know we all go through stuff, and you're probably going through stuff today because, you know, that's where we live, going through stuff. And you're going through stuff, but I want you to take comfort in the idea to know that your Hosanna will always be bigger than your problem. Your Hosanna will always lead you out of your trouble. Your Hosanna. Ephesians 3:14-20 says, I want to read a little bit of the Bible. So it says, for this reason I bow my knee to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. He would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. In verse 20. You can't really appreciate verse 20 until you read that right there. Now, verse 20 says, now to him. Now to him. Now to him, man. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Now to him. Jesus will always exceed your Hosanna. Now to him. What will he do? Exceedingly abundantly above, more than you could ask or think or imagine. He will always exceed your Hosanna. Your cry is for the deliverance out of Rome, and he brings you into an ambassadorship of heaven. He takes you out of subjugation of Rome and puts you in charge of heaven. Can you imagine that? A God so good that he would take you out of slavery and make you the author of all power and all authority, now in your control. Whatever you bind on earth, Dan, shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose, Eli, from heaven, shall be loosed to the earth. He takes slaves and he turns them into Royal ambassadors, priests of the Most High, sons and daughters of the Supreme Court of Heaven. Can you imagine such a God as good as that? That you would cry for bread and He would give you the bread of life. That you would be hungry and He would feed you forever. That He would satisfy the depths of your soul. Hebrews 7:25 says this. Therefore He is able. Oh. Therefore Jesus is able. Come on, tell your neighbor. He's able. He's able. He's able to save. How? How does He save? He saves to the uttermost. He's able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through Him, since He always lives to make intercession for us. Uttermost. My Hosanna releases His uttermost. My cry of desperation releases His uttermost to me. His uttermost is available to you this morning. Stop settling for a little bit when He said, I'm going to give you the uttermost. I'll go where your conscience can't be cleared from the works of man. I'll cleanse you to the depths of your soul. I'll get on the inside. I can divide joint and marrow. I can go where no counsel of man can go. I can bring healing to the bruises on your heart, to the agony of your cry. I can repair what the enemy stole, and I can make them pay for it. If you'll lift a Hosanna, if you'll cry out in agony, I can make the enemy pay for what he did to your children. I can make the enemy pay for what he did to your descendants and how he's robbed you all these years. And that generational curse that's been running around in your family will stop today if you'll just have enough humility to cry out, Hosanna! Hosanna in the highest! The lesson we learned today is that our Hosanna is quite intrusive. I want you to know that when you cry out Hosanna, Hosanna was going to get in your business. It's going to get all in your business. It's going to mess with the places of your heart that you never asked Him to mess with. Jesus, I asked you to deal with that, not that. I asked you to deal with my kid, and now you're dealing with me. What's going on? I asked you to deal with them, and now you're making it about me. This was never about me, Jesus. I asked you to help them. They're the ones that need help. And Jesus gets it all. Your Hosanna. You cry out, Hosanna, Hosanna. He said, okay, now let's get to work. I'm going to get all in your business. He gets all the way deep down in your business. You think you can hide it? You think you can manipulate it? You think you got witchcraft? You know what witchcraft is. It's anytime we try to dominate, manipulate. Huh? Control. That's witchcraft. Kids are really good at this. We just hide it better as we get older. Witchcraft. Yeah. Yeah, passive aggression. What's witchcraft? It's witchcraft. Anytime you try to manipulate or control somebody, that's voodoo, man. And you lift out a cry because you think you've suffered some injustice. And it's just like Jesus to use the injustice used against you to fix the injustice in you. I'll never understand. Say, Jesus, wait a minute. That's not what we're talking about here. We're not talking about me. But He'll use that and get all in your business. John 4, 14 to 18, He comes to this woman who wants a drink of water. Now listen to me. She came for a drink of water. She was thirsty. She didn't come to Jesus looking for all the other stuff that He got all in her business. All she wanted was some water. Just give me some water, Jesus. And look at what Jesus says to her. Whoever drinks of the water I give, never thirst. Indeed, the water I give will become them a spring of water, filling up, welling up to eternal life. I came for a drink. You gave me a spring that never ends. I just wanted a drink. Now, we all say amen there. Oh, thank you, Jesus, for the spring that never ends. Woo, thank you, Jesus. That's what we say. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water that I may never thirst or come here to draw again. Jesus said to her, uh-oh. Now, wait a minute, Jesus. What's a drink of water got to do with my business? Jesus gets in their business and says, hey, look, you think Jesus didn't know? Jesus is smooth with it. You know, Jesus is smooth with it. He's like, hey, go get your husband. Now, you know good and well I ain't got no husband. Jesus, you knew that. I ain't got no husband. She said, that's right, you ain't got no husband. You've been looking for a drink. You've been thirsty for a while, Jesus said. Well, he gets all in her business, doesn't he? Because your Hosanna is intrusive. Your Hosanna has one objective. That's to transform you. And if we just surrender to it, say, Jesus, do what you got to do, but make me better before you make me bitter. Bigger. Don't let me be bitter. Make me better. Before you bless me, correct me. Nobody will pray that prayer. Nobody wants that, but how many know as parents, that's how you raise strong kids? Strong kids are raised that way. Easy life doesn't produce strong kids. It produces entitled children. And so when you cry out, Hosanna, I want to warn you, it's going to be intrusive. It's going to get in your business. He's going to start dealing with the stuff that you never cried for. But it's the stuff you never cried for that's keeping you from the freedom that he's called you to. Hosanna will fix the stuff you never knew was broken. You cry out to him. Second thing I want you to know about if you cry Hosanna today is your Hosanna is going to be scary for you. It's going to provoke you to do things you never signed up for. I never signed up for that, Jesus. What are we doing here? Matthew 14, 27 and 29. Peter finds himself in a crowded boat. You know, he's there. And Jesus comes walking on the water, you know, like Jesus. Comes walking on the water. And isn't it just like Jesus to use your Hosanna to call forth the greatness that he's put inside of you? He said, greater things than these shall you do. And he comes and he spoke to them. He said, be of good cheer, it's me, don't be afraid. And Peter said, well, if it's you, command me to come to you out on the water. Your Hosanna, it'll cause you to get out of the crowded, huddled masses of average. It won't leave you there. Even terrified as you might be, it'll put you in rooms that intimidate you and scare you. It'll take you to the palaces of Pharaoh of Egypt. It'll take you to the palaces of Caesar in Rome. It will put you in places. When you cry, Hosanna, I want you to get yourself ready. Pack your bags. You're getting ready to go to some places that are terrifying and frightening, but also exhilarating to the believer. So it's going to be scary. I don't want to confuse you. I don't want you to think that when Christ says, come, you got one response, and that's obedience. That's throw your leg over the boat, get out, and separate yourself from the people pile. Everybody wants significance. Nobody, like maybe we gloss over here. Let me just give some context. There's a storm raging. Jesus comes walking in the storm on the water. They thought he was a ghost. They thought he was. So they're already scared. Right? And Jesus is walking on the water. Hey, give it a shot. You next time you go to the creek, just give it your best walking on water attempt. All right? Just let me know how it turns out for you. Let alone in the middle of the ocean, out there where the, you know, big creatures are, and then Jesus, there's a storm, and you decide you're just going to get out. And Jesus is going to call you to come out in the most difficult, scary moments that the world will ever present. That's what's wrong with the church today. What's scary for the world has become scary for us. But it should be quite opposite. What terrifies them should exhilarate us. What they run from, we should run to. What puts fear in them should put confidence in us. My God is able to do exceedingly abundant. So it's going to be scary. And then last, your Hosanna, when you cry out, I want you to know, it's going to be liberating. It's going to cause you to lose the fear of man and death. Acts 4, 12 to 13 says, nor is there salvation in any other. For there is no other name under heaven given by men by which we must be saved. And when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they perceived that they were uneducated, untrained men. They marveled and they realized that they had been with Jesus. Verse 18 to 20 says, so they called them and they commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. But here's what Peter said. I get a lot of questions to me, you know, in this geopolitical time where the powers and principalities of darkness attempt to manipulate the text of the living God. And it's nothing new. And to those believers who don't know any better, they will allow lesser authority to dictate the truth to them. They'll pull something out and say, see, you should be subject to the rulers of your time. I want to remind you that Paul wrote a good portion of the New Testament from prison. And he wrote it because they did not want him to proclaim the gospel. The same spirit is alive today that does not want you to live in faith or to walk in the truth of the gospel. And it will intimidate, manipulate, and control as much as it can, or dominate if need be, to keep you from the gospel. But I want you to know that there is a spirit that is released in your Hosanna that will liberate you from wanting to affirm them or them or them or them or anybody other than Jesus. There is a spirit that comes upon you. When you cry a Hosanna, there will be the spirit of liberation that's found in Christ that will come upon the believer that will free them from the fear of men. What can man do to me? And there are a lot of questions today I get asked. Troy, should you be preaching this way? You know, you realize you're saying things against the government. You realize you're saying things. You know they would kill you. Somebody told me the other day. You know they'd kill you, you know, back in the day. You know what they would do to get... I said, exactly. But I don't live with the fear of death because it is... Well, how shall we overcome the enemy? By the blood of the Lamb. By the word of our testimony. And we love not our life unto death. We died with Christ. We're no longer alive. Now our life is hidden in Him. I want you to know that today, if you release a Hosanna from the depths of your soul, from the depths and the cries of agony, what will happen to you is you will lose the fear of man. You will quit caring what your mom and your dad and your grandma and your auntie think. And you'll quit caring about what the red team thinks and the blue team thinks and the guy that's on the White House thinks and the governor thinks. You'll stop losing. You'll lose the fear of what they think. You'll start walking in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. This is what Peter and John said to them. Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than God, you judge. For we cannot speak the things which we have not seen. And heard. We must speak. Paul said this, woe unto me if I don't preach the gospel. And so I declare, when you raise your voice in Hosanna today, the generation is going to lose the fear of man. Hosanna will make you bold. Hosanna will make you careless of criticism, flint-faced in the fight, confidence in confusion, focused in the vision, and happy all through the process. That's what Hosanna will do. You'll be persecuted and you'll enjoy it. You'll go to jail and be chained and you know what I learned today. Norma Bauer, where are you? Is she here? Our beloved elder, Norma Bauer, she went to jail. She spent some time in the joint.
I said, I knew it. Knew you were my people. You ain't nobody unless you go to till you go to jail for Jesus. I said, why you go to jail? She said, oh, well, we went to shut down an abortion clinic one time. And we were going to overwhelm. She said this, we was going to overwhelm the system. I said, wow, we got some work to do. And she said, they took her to jail. And then she got disappointed because Lowell came and bailed her out. She was disappointed. Did you hear her say it? She said, well, yeah, and then Lowell came because other people were getting bailed out and came and bailed me out. I'm like, Mom, that's what's up. That's the spirit of Hosanna. I said, I stand for righteousness and the Lord, and I will not be deterred. Flint-faced, focused, compelled. As I close, I want to challenge you, church, to live with a Hosanna in your spirit. To live desperate, urgent, broken before God. To live in a constant place of dependency upon Him. To live urgent is found in Matthew 25, 1 to 13. We have to keep our lamps lit and trimmed. Because it signifies our urgency. I want to live in the immediacy of His presence. I want to live with a sense of urgency in my spirit that makes a demand on His presence that's needed for the darkness of my time. Whatever my kids are going through, I have to be ready for it. How? I must keep my lamps lit and trimmed, prepared, ready to go into His presence at any moment. Urgency must be in my spirit. Live with an urgency, a Hosanna in your belly. Don't presume to have the victory yet. Pray like everything depends upon you. Live with a dependency upon Jesus. It's time for the church to live with a dependency upon Jesus. As I can't do this in my authority. I can't do this in my power. I need the power of the supreme authority in all time, in all eternity. I need you, Jesus. I can't do what I'm doing. I can't father my kids. I can't parent my children. I can't walk this walk. I can't go to work. I can't do anything, God, unless your authority be with me. I need you, oh Jesus. To live desperate, to live with a Hosanna in your spirit. Stop presuming. There's such presumption today. First Samuel 1:10. Hannah lives with desperation. She was desperate. She cried in desperation. She cried in that hour. She was desperate. She said, give me a son. Give me a son lest I die. Let me ask you, when was the last time there was a Hosanna that came from the depths of you and said, Lord, give me souls lest I die. Lord, give me healing lest I die. God, give them liberty. When was the last time you cried out with from the depths of you for all of heaven to invade the earth? When was the last time you hit your knees in prayer and desperation and you released from the bowels of your spirit a Hosanna in the highest? She said, give me a son, lest I die. She said, we need a church today that's desperate, not comfortable. Comfort has deluded us. Comfort has deceived us. All of the luxuries around us, the air conditioning, the screens, the lights, the cars we drive, the homes we live in, the restaurants we eat in, the government we take for granted, all of it deceives us. And it steals from us our desperation, but it is our desperation that moves heaven. It is the cries of God's children that moves heaven. They ascend into the bowls of heaven. It was the cries of Egypt that came from the Hebrew children that ascended into the heavens. And God said, I've heard the cry of my children. It's time to cry again. It's time to live desperate again in the church. To live with a Hosanna. Those who hunger and thirst shall be filled. Jesus, I'm desperate for you. I'm desperate. So as you stand to your feet with me today and we close, I invite you to lift your palm before the Lord today. And as we close, all together, it's a solemn, reverent hosanna that says, I want to see her healed. I want to see her healed. I want to see her healed, you know? Just a hosanna, you know? Like, it's like hosanna's violent. It won't accept it the way it is. We get too used to it, like, hosanna. It's hosanna. I want the enemy to pay, Jeff. I want Satan to pay. I want him to pay for what he's done to my family. How he robbed my father of me at 55 years old. I want him to pay. Hosanna in the highest. It's not this weak comfort. I guess it's the way it's going to be. Or we could become a people that live in the Spirit and say, the Spirit that gives life. And the flesh profits nothing. So I'll live with an aching, urgent, desperate cry of hosanna for my sons and my daughters. And cry for the souls of man. Need healing in your body, lift your other hand. Healing in your body, lift your hand. Hosanna! Hosanna. It's desperate. Hosanna, Jesus. We don't cry for the greatest medicine of our time. We don't cry for the greatest doctors of our time. We don't cry for the greatest wisdom of our time. We cry out to you, Jesus, and we say, Hosanna. Hosanna, Jesus. Hosanna in the highest. We appeal to you, Jesus, today. We ask you to move. As we move these palms, we ask you to move. And may our movement provoke a movement of heaven on earth in our time. We cry out, Hosanna, for our sons and our daughters. And we declare they're coming home right now. We cry out, Hosanna, in this hour. We declare healing and strength. And we declare we are victorious in you, Jesus. We declare that nothing is impossible with you, Jesus. We thank you, God, that you are the God of all comfort. You are the God of victory. You're here today and you've never surrendered your life to Christ. You're within the sound of my voice and you've never given your life to Christ. Oh, you're backslidden. You're backslidden, man. You're cold on God. You're either burning or you're in trouble. I'm Troy. I love you. I'm your friend and I want you to win. I say this because I want you to win. If you don't know Jesus, if you got friends and family, look at me, church. If you got friends and family and they don't know Jesus, what are you waiting for? I pray an urgency in your spirit. A hosanna. A hosanna for the souls of all mankind. What are you waiting for? What are you waiting for, students? You got a whole school waiting to receive Jesus. What are you waiting for? I pray a hosanna in your spirits. Hosanna. You're here today and you've never given your life to Christ. I say this because I love you. You'll spend eternity somewhere. Heaven or hell, no middle. No decision is a decision. It's a violent decision. You want Jesus as your Savior? Pray this prayer with me. Every head bowed, every eye closed. You want Jesus as your Savior, your King. Simply say, Jesus, I repent. I receive you. Come into my heart. Make me new. I willingly give you my life. I receive your righteousness. Thank you. Thank you for eternal life. Right now. Eternal life right now. Thank you for eternal life right now. In Jesus' name. Amen. Can you put your hands together for Jesus today? We love you. Live right. Love everybody. Pray hard. God bless you.